sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Mm, it's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just
day.
A sunny
KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse and taking us along on your Saturday morning. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you. We're taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We are also joined today by Clark Bell from Biograss. Biograss, home of the Big Yellow Bag. You can find them at 9980 South State Street. You can order your Big Yellow Bag online, or you can also order it at 801-562-9090. And this morning we've been talking about a lot of different. We have Clark here with his expertise, been talking about a lot of different issues with grasses, lawns, planting new lawns. And all of that information is available on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page as well. And you can find it on our podcast at kslnewsradio.com. This go around, guys, the top of this hour, I wanted to talk about tips on mowing your lawn. And, Ton, maybe you could start out and talk about, you know, the best ways to mow in order to make sure you have a very healthy lawn. Ton, are you there? Did I lose Ton? Good morning, Ton. Well, Clark, I think I'm going to have you take that. What are some things that people can do to make sure they have the healthiest lawns when it comes to mowing?
Yeah, first and foremost, don't mow it too short. That's the first thing we always see is some people want to maintain their lawn like they maintain golf course fairways, which is just not realistic. That's being handled by, you know, people that studied agronomy for 8 years and know all the ins and outs of turf grass. So don't mow it too short. Best ideal height in Utah we're finding is 3 to 3.5 inches. When it's actually longer, it actually maintains its color longer, so you don't have to fertilize as much. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, this is one that's can be unpopular as well when I tell people this, is don't bag it. If you can use those mulch clippings and continually have them be put out onto your lawn, that will actually feed the soil and will be broken down into natural fertilizer. So that's another part of it. Some people, they might go on vacation for, you know, a weekend, and then the next week they don't mow, and then they're pretty behind. So sometimes that's not always realistic, or you have a bunch of clumps with your mulch in your yard. But if you can do those two components right there, continue to mulch, not bag, and then of course keep that taller, that's going to solve most of the mowing or turf grass issues you might have in your yard.
Right. Ton, I know you're with us now, but this has been an issue that I've had with my parents. It's such a tough sell to say, hey, you've got to keep your lawn a little bit longer, and you've got to, you know, not bag it. So there is a psychology to, you know, grass.
There is. And, you know, as far as convincing people to change their ways, especially over years and years, sometimes can be hard. But there's actual research out there showing that if you, after the spring is over, that if you mulch your clippings back into your lawn, that it can give you as much nitrogen as one fertilization. And so you can reduce the amount of fertilizer and help the environment and save some money if you will do that.
So let's talk about fertilization. How often do you really need to fertilize your lawn?
Well, a lot of companies have four-step programs, and especially when lawns are heavily used, those are great because they keep the lawns nice and green and able to recover. Where lawns are not used so much, you know, it might just be that a lot of the lawn, the only time it sees traffic is when it's mowed. One or two fertilizations are probably sufficient for those areas, just because of the lack of use.
Clark, what about if you're putting in a brand new lawn?
As far as
fertilization goes.
Oh, yeah. Great question. I'm sorry. I should have been following along.
No worries.
Yeah. So first and foremost, that starter fertilizer that you put out, you know, very popular one was 1668, triple 16. We sell a product called a Sustain 464. Put that on the soil before you actually, you know, put down your sod or your seed. That's going to give you all the nutrients to that new grass seed or new sod that it needs. And then 2 weeks after that pivotal time, after you've probably mowed your lawn for the first time or after the seeds are starting to sprout up, 2 to 3 months to kind of get that those rhizomes to start to generate and come alive. Is the next time when you would want to put down probably another like 1668, triple 16, or we have a product that's called 1818 that's made by Sustain. That'd be a great time to put that. So it's pivotal within that that first month that you get two fertilizations on a brand new lawn. Want to make sure that you don't apply too much because if you put down too much nitrogen or other components that could burn the lawn, that would be of course detrimental to what you're doing. So we always tell people make sure that your fertilizer spreader's calibrated correctly and you've got everything in line there.
All right, let's take a caller. Let's go to Grace in Salt Lake. Good morning, Grace. What is your question this morning for the Greenhouse Show? Good morning, Grace. What is your question?
Okay, about garlic or onion. First of all, I'm not sure which I have, but they're starting to form a head. Do I tear off the head or cut it off, or do I leave them alone?
Now, when you say a head, what do you mean?
They'll be in about a week. I think it'll be a flower.
Okay. You can go ahead and let them flower if you want. Now, have they been left in from last year?
Yes, all of them.
Okay. So if they go to seed, what will happen is that they'll start to drain energy from the bulb. And that bulb will become less useful to where it won't be useful at all. And so they should have been taken out and stored. if you can take a look at those bulbs and see if they're any good to use or not. But if they've been in the ground and they're starting to flower, they're in the middle of their life processes, and they may or may not be usable.
So if I leave them in the ground until sometime in the fall, will they be better next year?
No. Bulbs are, the onions are biennial. And so you plant them, you can put seed in the fall, or a lot of times we'll do the sets in the fall, or you can do them in early spring. And the intent is to harvest them. If you put them in last fall, you would harvest them late this summer. And so if they're going to seed, something's a little bit amiss, and all you can do is really be patient. But a lot of times, if they're in the ground too long, they will decline. And the intent is for the bulblets and the new seeds that come from the flower heads to take over.
And is that good or bad?
Well, I don't know that you're going to get much of a crop. How's that?
Okay. Well, all right. I'll think about it. But other question is, I bought two little broccoli plants about a month ago, and they're doing beautifully, but they have little broccoli heads on them. Do I take those off, or do they go to seed if I don't? What do I do?
How large are the plants right now?
4 inches.
4 inches. It means that at some point they've been exposed to temperatures that were too hot or too cold. And if they're already starting to set flower now, I would take them off and see what happens, but that's usually an indication that they have been stressed.
Well, we had kind of that brown in the warm weather and then the cold weather and then the warm weather.
Yeah, and I think it more maybe happened in the greenhouses, but if you want to leave them in the ground, you can, and just cut them off and see if they will grow more. But sometimes, especially if you start to see broccoli, the florets formed all over the plants, it isn't a good sign.
Okay. Well, that's too bad. I'm glad I didn't buy any more. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for your call. Clark, I want to talk about your big yellow bag because you are offering a special right now that you don't usually offer in May. So tell people what a great deal this is.
Yeah, so generally speaking, our discounts end in the end of April. But for KSL Greenhouse listeners today, on May 2nd, 2020, we're going to give them $20 off of their bag that is going to be delivered to them. And then for each additional bag, we're giving $30 off. So if you buy two bags, that's $50 in savings.
Okay, and it's pretty easy to order.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, you just go to bigyellowbag.com, type in your zip code. We'll then get your address put in there and pick the product that you want. Tell us where you want the bag dropped, and we'll literally just deliver it to you. You don't have to come in, talk to anybody. We'll get that all taken care of. Of course, if you do want that human interaction, give us a call at 801-562-9090, and we'll answer any questions you have and get your bag delivery set up.
Okay, so how is our Instagram contest going this morning?
We've had quite a resounding amount of interest in this. I think we're up to just about 60 comments now. I think we should shut it down and choose a winner here. How do you guys feel about that?
Okay, I think after the news at the bottom of the hour, we should announce our winner.
Let's do it.
So leave it open for about 5 more minutes, and then at the bottom of the hour, we'll announce the winner.
I'll be watching it. Thanks.
Sounds great. And the number to call if you have a question, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton taking your questions. You can also ask Clark Bell your questions. He's an expert when it comes to grass. He is at Biograss, 9980 South State. That is the home of the Big Yellow Bag. And boy, this is the last day for you to get that special price on that Big Yellow Bag. Let's get right to our callers here. Oh, wait, before I do that, Ton, I know you had a clarification on the last caller's question on onions.
Yes, if they actually planted garlic and last fall, it is traditional to put that in the fall and then harvest it the next year and get your bulbs out. And that's going to be a little bit different than the onions that we traditionally put in early spring. And I suspect she actually put down garlic, which would get her a decent harvest this next fall. But if it were onions, that's a different story. And you generally will plant the sets in early spring for a fall harvest on those.
All right, let's go to Corey in Saratoga Springs. Good morning, Corey. What is your question this morning for the Greenhouse Show?
Hi, I have that is just in my backyard. It's next to a Granny Smith apple tree.
You're talking about a peach tree. You dropped out there, but you're talking about a peach tree, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry. Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah. And so it's right next to a Granny Smith apple tree that is, the apple tree is doing very well, but the peach tree, this might be its last year. I noticed a couple of years ago, the leaves started turning yellow. It had had a few years of good peach production. It's probably 7 or 8 years old. But 2 years ago, the leaves started turning yellow. And last year, it got pretty neglected. I didn't do too much to it, only watered it a few times. And it hardly produced anything, and I noticed it started turning way downhill. The leaves turned very yellow and didn't really produce anything. And then this year, I don't think there are any buds on the tree, and, well, maybe a couple. And there's only about half the leaves, if that, and the leaves are just a light green color. And the tree is about 10 feet tall, and the trunk is probably a 3-inch trunk.
Okay. So have you seen
what we can do?
Well, we need to do some find out first, because you're just describing a stress tree, and that those symptoms or those signs and things can be caused by many different things. Have you looked at the base of the tree to see if you see gumming where the trunk meets the soil?
Well, it looks pretty normal. I don't see anything.
You may want to dig around there, because what you're describing, and have you treated the tree for peach tree borer every year?
No, I haven't. The only thing okay. I put on it is ortho fruit flower, that treatment for coddling moth.
Okay, so peaches don't get coddling moth, and
yeah,
so you don't need to treat the tree for that. And so what you would, the main thing you want to treat that tree for is peach tree borer, but why it's declining, you've just described stress tree, and it could be root disease, and it could be peach tree borer that's girdling that trunk right around the root, the crown of the tree, or you could have maybe even had a disease in it like cranium that would cause that tree to decline. And so it's really hard to say from what you're describing, just yellow leaves and mostly dead. It's like going to the doctor and saying, I'm dizzy and have a headache, you know? And so my suspicion is peach tree borer is right at or below ground level. And you could carefully dig around the trunk to see for that. But if that wasn't it, the next two most likely things are cranium blight, which is a leaf disease, which also can get into the branches that will take the tree out, and then root disease if it wasn't well maintained and didn't get water every 7 to 10 days, you know, a foot or so into the soil, that would also take that tree out or contribute.
Okay, great. I'll look for those specific
okay.
things.
We'll okay.
see what we can do.
All right. Thanks for your call. Our next texter is asking if they can transplant a wild big sagebrush into their yard. And if so, do you have any tips for that?
No, it's going to be so deeply rooted that unless they just find a little seedling that's coming up, that I think they'd sever too many of the roots. And since it's actively growing right now, they would kill it.
All right.
So you can buy sagebrush from some local garden centers and just plant it, and it's most likely going to be either Wyoming big sage, which are the sagebrush that get 6 or 8 feet tall, or it's going to be the medium-sized a sagebrush that you see out all over the Intermountain West.
Okay, our next texter is in Draper, and they're wondering about strawberry plants. Do they last forever, or do they get old and need to be replaced? And what's the recommendation for a strawberry plant that will produce large berries?
Well, they get old and need to be replaced every 5 to 7 years or so. And you want new certified virus-free plants, and you don't put them back into the same place that was there before. They were planted before. And so beyond that, if you want the largest berries, you need to use what we would call an annual training system, to where the berries are planted in the spring, or the plants are planted in the spring, and then they'll produce the biggest berries for 1 year, then the following year, and then you would rip them out and then put new plants in, and that can be cost prohibitive and disheartening. And so what I would recommend doing is finding something like Honey Eye or EV2 or Seascape. Those are some varieties that do fairly well and will produce medium to big berries, and grow them well and manage them for that 5 to 7 years before you replace them. And so traditionally you take out the oldest plants, because those are the ones that are the least productive, and you can do up to a third of those, and then the younger plants will produce most of your berries.
The number to call, 801-575-8255, or you can text us your questions at 57500.